The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Times that were appointed, you know, appointed times. And I think back to when Jim and Misty went to their first Word First conference, and that was an appointed time. It was an appointed time of relationship and fellowship that would birth an impartation and spur a calling that Sarah and I had years ago. And so this morning, we get to welcome Pastor Bert Wimberly from Gates of the City in Kerrville, Texas. Amen. Come on up here, Pastor Bert. Pastor Bert, if you've been here at any length of time, you've heard me reference him often. But I'm so thankful that he prays for me and each and every one of you every single day. I know he does. I have felt it. There's no way we would have come from where we started to where we are and to where we're going without this man and his prayers and his faithfulness. Thank you, Pastor Bert.
Am I on? Oh, yeah. I don't need a microphone, I promise you. Everybody can hear me, but we want to record it. Amen? Can I get a water? Sorry. But, so, I'm just going to give it to you today. I got a number of things. Who is in charge of the sound? Who is? Like, who created the sound? EJ and Dave. Dave that was right here? Okay. So, that sound is, there he is, back there, and then you're working with it, and EJ's in another room. But this sound is amazing. I mean, this sound is amazing. And I go in a lot of different churches other than the church that I pastor. I go in a lot of different places. And when the sound is not good, it's difficult to receive. It's difficult to receive the Word of God, to receive in the service. I mean, people get by with it, tolerate it or whatever. But when the sound is that soft, it's amazing. And I don't know why I've got this word for you. But you're very important to this body. I don't know anything about you. You mentioned his name and the sound or whatever. But you're very important here. And God gives me this word to you. You'll be here forever. Amen. And he wants you. Yeah. And you've got to stay in your lane. You remember that. That may not mean anything today, but there'll be a day when that means something. You stay in your lane because this sound is part of the anointing of the house. Anyway, like I said, I got a number of things to say, and I got to get it out. But I had to tell you that. Amen. Well, as he said, Bert Wimberly from, was there? Side, there it is. Okay, got it. See if I won't bang the pulpit, so I dropped that. But Kerrville, Texas, I've pastored Gates of the City Church for 34 years this year. And same church, and I've told my wife and my family and my church body and my leadership that I've got a solid another decade in my spirit for what we're doing in Kerrville. We're revamping everything after 34 years. after 34 years, we're revamping everything because we're taking our city. Amen. Amen. And today, as Pastor Monty said, I pray for you every day. And probably I'll just go on the short side, at least for the last 7 years. Everybody that's probably associated here has been part of the camp meeting in the past, because I pray for Jim and Misty and for the camp meeting that we've been a part of since 2010, correct? And things were birthed out of that. That what's going on here today was birthed, as he said, from that. And the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 1 and verse 15, he told the church there before he prayed that prayer to the church at Ephesus, he said, I can't not pray for you. That's one translation, and that's my favorite. I can't not pray for you. If you're going to get the word, then you have to be prayed for. You have to be prayed for. Because when the word comes, so comes persecution. Amen? Jesus said, you will be persecuted because of my word. So if you're going to be persecuted, you might as well have the word with you so you can deal with any kind of persecution. And Paul said, many of the persecutions that come against the righteous, but my God delivers me from all of them. Not just some, all of them. And so, again, it's a huge privilege to be here today to minister the word. I love your pastors. I mean, dearly, I love your pastors. And what God has put in them, you're blessed to have people that will lay their life down for you, right? And as pastors, they're not going to say that, but I'm going to tell you that. They lay their lives down for you. And it's not, through the years I've dealt with, I mean, there's not anything I haven't dealt with yet, but there'll be new things, I'm sure. But people, most of the time, people have issues with pastors like they think they're better than them. And it's not that somebody's better. I'm a Christian like you're a Christian. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. Your pastors are Christians just like you, but they operate in an office and an anointing that other people don't know anything about. You wouldn't know anything about it unless you were in it. And if you were in that anointing and that office, you'd probably do things a little bit different than they do. But because you're not there, you're flowing with the vision of the house. Amen? And when the sound is good, you know, people always say, when the nursery's good, everything's good, right? Huh? Everything's great in the house when the nursery's good. I say, when the sound's good, everything's good. Amen? Yeah, that's just my opinion. Anyway. I'm just saying that to tell you how grateful I am to see your sacrifice and your willingness to do what God has called you to do. And God's blessing is on you and your family, and it will remain on your lives. Everybody shout amen to that. Glory to God. Amen. So today I got this message, I got this series in 2000 and either 4 or 5. And I preached it. And then I didn't preach it for about 5 or 6 years. And then I preached it again, and I've been preaching it, and it's never the same twice. And I've preached this series maybe 5 times now in the last, since about maybe 2012 or 13. And because here lies the truth and the answers of how to overcome every situation in your life. Here lies the answer. I mean, it's the Word of God. It's not just this message or this series. It's the Word of God. But the way God has given this to me and the way He gave it to me today is a little bit different than how I shared it just lately in my church. I'm giving it to you in these few verses of Scripture because it empowers you to be able to take what you're hearing and learning. See, what I'm delivering today, it's familiar to you because of what is preached in this house. So it makes this easier. But you don't know what you think you know like you need to know. Right? And so as I'm imparting this to you today, you're going to take what you have, add to it, and you're going to take it to another level. That's the way the Word works. It's not me, it's the Word. But you wouldn't receive this well. God wouldn't have told me to minister this had this kind of things not preached in this church. I go to other places where they don't preach what is preached here, and you can't deliver that. So everybody rejoice. Amen? You're receiving a word that's going to take you to another place. I just believe that. I know it. And so here we go. Hebrews 11:3, and I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. Hebrews 11:3. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. The power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. Now, I'm going to define that in the next few verses of Scripture. By the end of the message, I'll go back to this and remind you of what was said here. I'll read this again. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. We were created in His image, so we have to operate like Him if we're going to get His results, right? He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. So He saw nothing, but He spoke, and it became something. And that's the life you and I have to live. I mean, we were created for such a time as this, to live in this place and in this world. Because Colossians 1 says, Christ revealed in you is the hope of the world. Amen. The next president is not the hope of the world. Some new government is not the hope of the world. Christ revealed in you is the hope of the world. Amen. There is no other hope if you and I don't get a grip of this thing. People say, well, you know, God's in control of what's happening out here. not my God. Heaven doesn't look like this.
That's right.
The reason that things aren't right in the earth right now is because the church as a whole has not taken its place. If the church is operating in what Jesus accomplished, all the messes are gone. So, I don't know about you, but I'm not going anywhere right now. So I might as well be busy learning how to do this and do it. Can you say amen? Amen. James 3:2 in the Passion. We all fail in many areas. And everybody's aware of that because the devil's reminding you of all your failures. Right? So I'm saying it again. We all fail in many areas, but especially with our words, we fail. So you got to get better with what comes out of your mouth every single day. You know that. You hear that. You understand confession in this house. But I'm telling you, you still got too much stuff coming out of your mouth that does not line up with God's word.
That's right.
You got to change it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Remember, I'm just got to get to the point because I only got 2.5 hours now. No. Anyway, here we go. Yes, yet if we are able to bridle the words we say, watch this. We are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. The absolutes in the word are staggering sometimes. Well, yeah, but Pastor, you know, I don't know. I struggle it. Control your words, you control your flesh. Well, I just, you know, I'm out of control in the... Control your words, you control your flesh. Because every time you tell me what you're out of controlling, you're not controlling your words. So we got to back it up and deal with it, right? So he said, yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and fully developed. So your mouth is an indicator of where you're not developed. Your mouth is an indicator of where things are not going right. And so, to be fully developed, we have to pay attention to what the rest of what I'm teaching today is. So the title of this message is, Frame Your World. Frame Your World. The last time I taught this series, the first message, I brought out a picture frame. It was about this tall, big, set it up on, kind of hung it up in front of my pulpit, and I kind of preached around it like this. And the picture frame was, how many golfers in the house? Okay, two, three. Come on, come on. Four. So you know a little bit about this one way in the far back. Five, six. Okay. Woo. Come on. I'm speaking to the crowd now. Right. So I had this big frame, and in the frame was Amen Corner. Hole number 11, 12, and 13 at the Masters. One of the big golf tournaments, professional golf tournaments, if you don't know anything about golf. And I'm sitting there, and I'm preaching, and people just watch, looking at that thing. What the heck? I didn't tell them what it was. You know, and some of the golfers, the people in my church that are golfers, they knew it, you know, and they're looking, people are all looking at it. And so about halfway through the message, I said, so what do you see right here? And somebody said, like a pasture or something? You know, and I go, he's a farmer in my church, you know. It looked like grass. It must be a pasture or whatever, you know. Somebody out, no, it's Amen Corner. So a golfer knew exactly what it was. From the distance, you know, it wasn't huge pictures, so they really, people are like this trying to figure out what it was. But over time, it became clear when I began to explain it. And the clearer that the picture frame got, then it had purpose. You and I, God framed the worlds with his words. You and I must frame our world with our words. And the clearer it gets what I'm here for and what my purpose is, the more effective that it can be. Because at the end of the service, I took it down, I went around, and I preached the rest of my message walking through, showing everybody what Amen Corner looks like. And I spent the rest of that message talking about the Masters Golf Tournament, what it meant to me from the time I was a little boy, growing up playing golf, always dreamed about being in the Masters. I started telling, and I mean, people were just like, wow. Somebody, I said, where can I get one of those? Because because I begin to explain it by my words. So that's just an analogy of how you and I have to frame our worlds by the Word of God. I can't frame your world. Today I'm helping you, but if you don't do anything with what I'm telling you today, it won't produce a thing for you. I mean, you'll know a little bit more, but that doesn't mean it will do anything for you if you're not a doer. Can you say amen to that? Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are not in the power of God for your life. Death and life are not in the power of the devil where your life is concerned. Death and life is in the power of what you say. And when you choose to speak what God says, then God can do what God wants to do. You say, well, you know, God can do whatever. Yeah, I mean, I'm not telling you God can't do what God can do whatever he wants. But his word says that everything that comes to us through his word. And I'm going to show you this at the end of this message, how vital it is to build the foundation of the Word of God so that God can do what he's already done, but he can do it for you day to day. Amen. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He completed the work. Done. But for that to work for you day to day depends on what you do with your mouth, death and life, or blessing and cursing in your life depends on what you do with your words. What are we doing today? Declaring that we're framing our worlds. Amen? Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. I want to read this short passage. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings as you are today, and he does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who will dig deep someday. No. So he's talking about a guy that hears and does. So this is a guy that's already dug deep. Watch. He dug deep and he laid the foundation on the rock. And when, not if, when the flood arose. When the floods came, in other words. The stream beat venomously against that house. Could not shake it. For it was founded on the rock. So the guy that is fully developed and mature, controlling his words, controlling everything else. And when the storms come, he's strong and healthy because the word of God is not only in him, but it's coming out of him in faith because he did the development that needed to be done and he never quit. Galatians 6:9 says, you don't quit, you get it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but you stay with it and you get it. You get it. But he who heard and did nothing. You know, you can, as you read the first part, man, the Luke here is really detailed about the guy that dug deep. But the guy that didn't dig deep, it's just kind of like he threw it out there. So he says, but you who heard, yeah, you did nothing. Like a man built a house on the earth. You know, he didn't talk about anything, you know, the way he did in the first part of it, without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently. He didn't talk about the storm. He didn't talk about it the way he did before. He just kind of throwing it out there because he's kind of disgusted in the people that don't do it. Does that mean God's disgusted with you if you've tried and stopped and tried? No. The writer here is kind of fed up because of maybe the people he's dealing with in the days he was pinning this and remembering what Jesus had said, right? And here he says, and immediately what they had built fell. How quick? Immediately. Because they're not digging. You don't build a foundation in a day. How many contractors do we have in here today? You don't build a foundation in a day, right? You got to spend time sitting in church like maybe you would be sitting in an architect's office. You know, as the architect, as you're giving him the plans and he's creating the plans, you're sitting in here just receiving the word. You're not, you know, over time and you've learned in this place how to confess the word. But just because you confess the word on the daily basis doesn't mean that your circumstances change immediately. In fact, they won't, because your confession is to change the way you think first. And when you change the way you think and faith begins to arise, then the words of faith that you speak, they move mountains. Yes. But you got to build that deep foundation. And here he said, there's a guy that didn't build that foundation. He got tired of it. You know, too busy. Well, you know, I'm raising my kids and I just really, well, I'm doing this thing and that thing. Well, you know, I've got people I got to take care of, and all of that's good. You know, I'm in a career and I'm making money, all this kind of stuff. The Bible says in Proverbs, he said, you can have gold and jewels, and that's one thing, but there's something of far greater worth. And it says this, speaking revelation words of knowledge. You know, it's not how much you confess the word on a daily basis, but it's how much value you give to what you say and that you just don't quit. When I first started developing what we call in our church a daily routine of the Word of God, when I started doing that, I had a lot of fear in my life. As a pastor, I had a lot of fear that I was dealing with. And God said, you don't get rid of that. He said, you don't get, it wasn't a lot, but it was in a couple of areas. He said, you don't get rid of that. That is going to creep up on you constantly and take you out. And so I started on a daily basis probably 7 or 8 confessions from mainly from Isaiah and the book of Proverbs about fear and the 2 Timothy that Jim read earlier. You know, those verses of scripture, I began to put those in my mouth 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. I would speak those throughout the day. It began to change my life. Today, I spend about anywhere from about 1 hour to 2 hours confessing and praying the word every single day. But I started, see, if I came out here and said, well, you know, I got a revelation of this, man, I've been doing 2 hours, now I'm up to 3, 4, 5, and 6. I mean, you're going to be intimidated by that. No, I'm telling you, I started I gave God 5 minutes of confession, 5 minutes turned into what it is today because I want it. I promise you, you got other things to do than confess the word. You're going to have to fight for this. Every day of your life, many of you that are sitting in here today, I'm just speaking to the choir. I'm just telling you, no matter where you're at, you don't know what you know like you need to know it for today and the days ahead. Never in the history of the world has the church faced what it's facing today. It's our finest hour. Amen. It's our finest hour to rise up. You know what? Do your due diligence in government. Vote. Do all those kind of things. But don't take up people's causes apart from what God's telling you to do. It's so destructive. I'm telling you today, it's so destructive to take up causes that other people have when you don't even know if they're true. I get to the place today where, you know, I trust Monty and Sarah. I trust Jim and Misty. I don't know if I trust a whole lot of other people. Republicans or Democrats. Huh? I don't know. I mean, who do you trust? Huh? Him. You understand? Him and his word. Huh? And he will see us through everything. Come on, shout amen to somebody. God is true to his word. And we've got to have that word working. We've got to be constantly framing so that the impossible, the invisible becomes the visible. And you'll get it when I use my example here in the next hour and a half. Mark chapter 4 and verse 13. He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" This is in Texas lingo, okay? You don't understand this, you ain't gonna get nothing. Huh? You don't understand this, you're not gonna understand anything else in the Word of God if you don't understand what I'm fixing to tell you right now. And I believe, just in a small way, I'm going to give you a piece of revelation about this and the next little piece as I end this message today. That's going to help you to take what you have and see victories from right now on. That's what I believe. That's where my prayer will be as I'm leaving here for everyone that's heard this word. Because remember, Paul said, you can't preach the word and then not pray for it. Here we go. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word." Well, Pastor, I paid my tithe and I sowed seed. Okay, but are you sowing the word? See, because you can sow financial, but you're not sowing the word, and then you're not putting your words on your financial. If you're not sowing the word, you're sowing the seed. I don't want to do that. It won't produce. You got to name that seed. You got to declare where that seed is going and what it's going to produce. I mean, every farmer in the house here, if you're planting, I mean, you know, who plants a cucumber seed anyway? But you may be planting cucumbers, right? And you're not out there expecting to receive nothing. You're expecting to receive not tomatoes, but cucumbers. Right? So when you sow financially, you're expecting to receive it, but you've got to have the revelation of the word because you've sown the word first. First, we sow the word. First, we sow the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Right? Everybody has been, we're talking about wayside soil. Okay? Talking about soil that's going to produce fruit. Everybody has had wayside soil in their heart. Okay? And Satan comes immediately to steal the word. You get born again, you're in the kingdom for a while, you hear a great message, you get excited, you see things happen, and all of a sudden, bam, floods come, bam, 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 devil hits you. It's like, why did I do that? Why did I pay my tithe? Why did I prove to God whether that's going to work or not, and it didn't work, and why did I do it? Oh my God, it's not true. And that's where people get lost because they're not staying with the word. You're going to obey God even when you don't see it so you can see it. That's God's kingdom. You don't like it? Okay. Go down the street. Because you're going to live disappointed because you're not getting it. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying you got to get it in 6 weeks. I'm saying just get in the battle, get in the game, and stay with it, and don't quit. Amen. Man, those are good odds. Just don't quit. Stay in the fight. I know it's been rough. I know that's happened. I know those things have risen. I know these things are going on over here. I know things in the world. Look at Israel. All But just stay in the fight. Stay in it. This morning, as I got up, I'm walking my room speaking the word. And it quickens your body. It just like, you know, whew. It just causes you to be alive. I got to tell this story about my glasses real fast. So we were eating in a restaurant last night, and I had this my glasses here, and we drove out of the parking lot. I said, hey, I left my glasses. I got to run back and get them. So I ran back inside and got them, and they couldn't find them. I said, well, maybe it's at the hotel. So I go to the hotel. It's not there. And so I called Jim. I said, they're not here, but I don't know. You know, so I'm just praying. And as I begin to pray, what came to me, okay, this is the word, so here's the situation. You're going to freak out. Well, here's the deal with these glasses. You notice I'm not wearing them, okay? Only reason I have to have these is because I have to have them to drive. And so, you know, at least today, for the best of my ability, I'm going to obey the law, right? When they tell me what I can preach and I can't preach, I'm going to break the law. Amen? Amen. So I'm just saying right now I'm obeying the law. I want to obey the law. I want to do what's right, right? So I got to wear my glasses. I don't have to wear them because I'm believing the next time I take an eye exam, I'm 64. So in April, I got to renew my license. How many agree with me that I can see? Amen? Amen? I don't need glasses. I don't want glasses. I really don't need them. Right? I mean, at times I need readers when I study a lot. I need that. That helps and strengthens my eyes that way, but I don't need them. So I got back to the room and I heard the Holy Spirit say, okay, don't freak out. And because your first thought is, oh my gosh, where are my glasses? Okay, they're a pair of glasses. Right? Everything hidden brought to the light. And I said out of my mouth, I said this, I'm not leaving Raton without my glasses. Not because I have to have them. If I'm laying them down, I'm laying them down, but the devil ain't stealing those glasses from me. Can you say amen to that? So this morning, here's Jim handing me my glasses. They found them at the restaurant. You say, oh, you know, they could have thrown them in the trash. They could have done it. But I release the angels of God to protect them because I find that in the word. That because I've been a daily confessor of the word. I've developed a daily routine so that when faith needs to arise in a situation, there's the faith, and it worked. I told Jim after he handed it to me what I had said. I said, so if it was going to take a few days or a few weeks, I'll be staying at your house, my glasses will manifest, you know, because that's what I heard in my spirit. See, but a lot of times people say, oh, well, it's just glasses. I'll just buy another. No. I'm not losing anything. Amen? And I'm not, somebody said, well, you know, you're 64. No, not this, Brian. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God every day of my life. Can you say amen? Come on, shout amen, somebody.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa-oh. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Troubled sea, whoa, oh, you
peace.